Top of the morning to you. Well, I actually did take an ancestry DNA test, and this leg is all Irish. I promise, and I know because it goes like this all the time. So we are in a season where we're talking about what it really means to be a disciple and how we can go deeper day by day in our discipleship. Last week we talked about scripture, and this week we're going to look at prayer. Most of us, when we begin our prayer lives, start with something fairly simple, little memory prayers like, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Does that ring a bell with anyone? What goes next? I pray the Lord, my soul keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord. You betcha. So another time we might have gotten these memory prayers is when we sit down and say grace before a meal. What are some of the ones that you may have used? God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Fed. Our daily bread. There you go. Any others? I cut off the last verse. Which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ. You were Catholic, right? Yeah. Thought so. Amen. And Episcopalians go the other way. You know that. In my house, we kept it short. My father had kind of a direct way of doing things. It was good bread, good meat, good God, let's eat. That was it. But it kept every part of it together, if you know what I mean. And we said these things together. And at the end of it, we always said, amen. What does amen mean? So be it. I heard that over here. Amen means so be it. But I'll bet most of us didn't know that. And we probably said it all of our lives in some way or another. And so we continue to learn about this thing we call prayer and how to fall deeper into it. Now, earlier we said something that we call the Lord's Prayer, and there is just one Lord's Prayer, right? Yeah, no, gotcha. Would you please pull out your hymnal and turn to page 894? You didn't know you're going to have to do work this morning, did you? 894. And if you'll notice up at the top, it says what? The Lord's Prayer. And there's just one, right? Oh, no. There's three. There's an ecumenical text where it says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil," right? There's then the Lord's Prayer from the former Methodist Church that says, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation." And then we have the Lord's Prayer from the former Evangelical United Brethren Church, which says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation." So, which is it? Sins, trespasses, or debts? Why all the above? Because those are all valid ways of reaching out to God, are they not? And here's the interesting thing. We all probably learned the Lord's Prayer because you sounded pretty good when Kathy just led us in it. But here's the deal. Now you're aware that there are at least three other ways to pray it. And so you get to think about which of those ways most closely reflects how you want to be in communion with God. If we continued in Matthew 6, verse 9 today, we would have heard this. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best. As above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals every day. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving of others. Keep us safe from ourselves and from the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in glory. Yes. 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 That, too, is the Lord's Prayer. So now you're even more confused. How do I pray this? Well, you've had your memory prayer, and now you are learning how to choose words that reflect that prayer in your life to God. See how we're moving forward in our understanding? We've taken these simple memory prayers and we've expanded them. We've let them become personalized through our lives as we speak with God. We begin often in others' words, and our prayers end up being in our own. We also need to consider what it is we pray about, how we approach God. Oftentimes, we find ourselves in prayer in time of need, when we are feeling either ill-equipped to cope or in situations that are beyond our control. We oftentimes reach out to God, sometimes without even thinking, we find ourselves praying. And in those moments, we tend to tell God exactly what's going on in our life or the life of the loved ones. And we fill that space that we're creating completely. We fill it so completely with our own needs, our own desires, the desires that we hold for others, that we don't make space for God to enter into it with us. You know what I mean? You ever been in a conversation with someone like that? Where either you got the transmit button mashed down so hard that you can't hear anything, or you have it coming at you so hard that you don't have room to be in that conversation. That's why another word for prayer is communion. Communion. Being in communion with God. Being able to make space so that we can bring our whole selves to God, but we have space left for God to fill next to us as well. And that is going deeper in our understanding of prayer. Oftentimes, as we go deeper in understanding prayer, we become more like Christ. And the content of our prayer tends to shift. Oftentimes in our lives, we're more or less comfortable speaking with God about physical needs. We've heard many today, and these are good that we lift them up before God, because it shows our concern, our deep desire for the wellness of others and for ourselves. But ending these prayers with our physical needs is not enough. We need to acknowledge that we are all not only physical beings, but emotional and spiritual beings as well. Right? All of these things form us into the people that we are. And so shouldn't we be praying for our emotional health, for our spiritual health, as well as for our physical health? And yet we are so reluctant to do it. And I encourage us to include those concerns in our prayers. Because honestly, our physical life is in God's hands, right? Our spiritual life is in God's hands. We are all God's. And so shouldn't we entrust all parts of ourself to God? This is part of going deeper in our spiritual maturity as well. As congregations, we also tend to pray in certain ways. We become comfortable in our rhythms and in our knowledge of different prayers. And just like if it's a new hymn, if we pray in a new way, what do we all do? Don't know that one. And yet, if we explore, if we try, if we open ourselves, a new beauty can be born from within us. A new expression of communion with God can come forth. And maybe we don't feel comfortable saying it, but if someone else is saying it in our midst, we can certainly tag on to it with our own personal prayers as well. As congregations, we also start by praying for those who are in our midst, who are part of our church family, who worship with us on Sundays, and we lift them up because we happen to be in relationship with them and we care deeply for them. And this is good. But again, it's not complete. What we must do is acknowledge that our sense of family, as we call church family, as we pray for the world, as we pray in communion with God, our definition of family expands. It grows. It encompasses more. It takes in others. It is about all of God's creation. And so, when we say church family, we all hear different things, don't we? And through prayer, we understand that when God listens to us, God understands family in a very different way. And so, we pray not only for those of us who are here and those of us who are close to us in our lives and our hearts. We pray for those who hear our church bells every Sunday across the street and we don't know their names. We pray for those who we encounter. We pray for the person that's riding our bumper. Now there's a trial. But we pray for them. Because we don't know why. We don't know what's going on. And as we go deeper in this understanding of prayer, we find that we use different methods to pray. I hope that you keep a record or a journal. And if you don't, I encourage you to. And in that journal or in that record, put down your questions, your heartaches, your struggles, your praises. Put your prayers into poetry. And I really thought I was bad at poetry. I mean, I think you have to rhyme everything. And then I was challenged to try this, and I found I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. Write a letter to God. Hey, how many emails do you write a day? I'm serious. How many emails do you write a day? Can't you take a moment and write a letter to God? Just communing with God in that way. And then I invite you, years or decades later, to review your journal, to take time to go back and see how you were trying to connect with God, and then with perfect hindsight, see how God answered your prayers. Because one of the things I hear all the time is, God doesn't answer my prayer. Well, do you make space? Do you get off the transmit button long enough to listen? And over a period of time, do you go back and reflect on what God has actually been doing in your life and in the life of loved ones and in the life of the world so that you can say, God listened. God answered. Some other things you may want to do, take a prayer walk. Walk down your street and pray for each house that you pass and those who reside there. If you go by a school or if you go to school, pray for the teachers, the staff, and the students. Because I guarantee you there's a lot of stuff going on in there. Pray for the businesses that you pass or that you visit yourself. Pray for those who may be in need that you're not even noticing. This past week, I was at the grocery store, and I noticed that there was an adult with two small children. The cart was barely had things in it. And they were standing in front of one counter, and the adult was looking very hard at what was there, and then with a shrug, took something out of the cart, gave it to the daughter to put it back on the shelf so she could take the other thing off the shelf. Are we praying for people? Are we praying for their needs? And for people that you pass on the sidewalk, just lifting them up to God, giving them a smile. You know, that may be the only smile they get that day. And just lifting them up. One thing I started doing several years ago, actually this is a couple decades ago, excuse me, I began to pray over my day planner. Now, I don't have a day planner anymore, but I have a smartphone. And I have a calendar. And I begin each day by praying over that. That the things that are on there, that God speak to me about them and help me to understand what are those things are the best use of the talents and time that God gives me and the needs that God would have me address through them. And so no more do I say, well, I have a busy life and I can't do that. I start my day by looking at that life. I start my day by looking at my calendar, and I make conscious, prayerful choices of how I choose to spend my day. And I bathe it in prayer. And I can't tell you how many times in those early morning hours my day has changed. And I've tried to follow where God is leading. Here's a good one. Pray as you watch the news. There's so much chaos and conflict in our world today. We need to just stop and invoke God's will and wisdom. And instead of getting furious with politicians and their wily ways, why not stop and pray for them? That they have wisdom and strength and courage to act as they know that they should. And also pray not only for our national leaders, pray for our local leaders as well. They need your prayers as they face competing agendas and diminishing resources. Pray for them. Lift them up. Form prayer partnerships. Pray with someone regularly and use these partnerships to go deeper in your spiritual understanding of mutual accountability. And then just be still. Do you hear that sound? That space being made for God. Turn off distractions like your TV, your radio, your cell phones. Find a comfortable and isolated place. to reflect and listen and meditate upon God. So be fully present before God. That's really where we're going with our prayer lives, is to be fully present not only for our lives, but for our God. And find ways to make prayer a constant part of each and every day. Now, the things that I've outlined to you, that takes a lifetime to grow. But I am asking you today to think about what one change you could make this week in your prayer life. How you could make a more perfect space for communion with God. How you could continue to let God know the cares and desires of your heart, but expand beyond the physical needs and face the emotional and spiritual needs as well. To listen as God speaks back to you, sometimes in a still small voice and other times through a whirlwind. Prayer is the seat of faith. So spend time in that seat. Spend time in that practice. And come back next week ready to share. Perhaps how something you have done this week helped you to commune closer with your God. Amen? Amen. Amen.